mom passed away, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to preach her funeral. And I was thinking about, what would I preach? What would I say? Because my mom was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Her life preached her funeral. So it was so easy. But I was sitting and watching TV. I was watching the news, sports, something on the news. And this little girl was running a race. They all got in their starting blocks. So it's a sprint. They get the starting blocks and they take off. Her shoe came off right away. She turned around and went back and got her shoe and turned around and ran, and she won that race. Google it. Google it. I was
40 yards or something?
Yeah. And it was impressive. I thought, what the heck? How in the world did you do that? I can see if you're running a mile. This was a sprint. Then God opened my eyes, and he showed me something. He said, just like your mom, Lyle, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Amen. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Enemy's trying to tell somebody here tonight, over the last weeks, last month, last year, that you can't make it because of what you used to be. You can't make it because of the things you did. You know, I used to think that there was no way I would get saved. I would go to church all the time with my mom, with somebody, and I would sit there and I would cry because I wanted to be something different. But the things inside of me just wouldn't change. I just couldn't drop those habits. I couldn't stop being a liar. I couldn't stop getting high. I couldn't stop being a pervert. I just couldn't stop those things. And the enemy would tell me, see, you're not like them. See, you're not like them. You can't make it. And I'd go back out and get caught back up in those things. But you know, I thank God that it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. I look at Saul in the Bible. Saul was killing Christians. He was running around doing his thing, and he thought all his heart he was helping the Lord. Now, what if he'd have died out there killing Christians? Where would he have been? But God got a hold of him, and he changed his life. Amen. See, God is no respecter of person. The fact that you're sitting here right now means God's got a hold of you. He's speaking to you. He is addressing every area of your life. Everything's not going to change in a day. But God delivers you. He delivers you right now. But we have to learn, Marvin, to walk in our deliverance. That was a hard thing for me at first, and I just couldn't do it. I remember watching the Super Bowl some years ago. Tom Brady was playing with the Patriots. I hate the Patriots, always have. You know, and they were playing, and I can't remember who they were playing, with a Tampa Bay or somebody, but at halftime, the team was up 20-something points on them. Atlanta. They was up 28-3. I was so happy I didn't know what to do. They came back and won the game 31-28. I was all excited for that first half. So I'm trying to tell you, don't put all your marbles on the first half, because it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. That's what it's all about, is coming to get coasting in and getting that race. I was in the military some years ago, and I remember watching that. I was in the military in 79. So that ESPN and stuff was just starting to come out. We didn't have it here. I'd never seen it. And we were in Texas, and I was sitting there watching a fight in my room in the barracks. And it was a boxing match. And this guy knocked this dude down. Ooh. He knocked him down again. Well, next round, he knocked this guy down again. I'm thinking, man, they ought to stop this fight. But somehow, some way, that dude got knocked down three times, got him off the floor, and he knocked the other guy out. And I was tickled to death. But that's not the funny part of that story. The funny part of that story is, I was getting ready to go to Church's Chicken a few days later with Sergeant Gordon, a friend of mine. He was in the barracks. And I was looking at his TV. He had a TV on ESPN. And that fight was on. And I'm thinking to myself, I've seen this fight. And him and I are watching this, you know, and we smoke a little weed. That's what we were doing back in those days. And I'm watching the fight. And the guy knocks the guy down. And Gordon started laughing. So, oh man, he's killing that dude. And right away, being the good shyster I used to be, I thought I can profit off of this. So I told him, I said, no, man. I said, that guy on the ground looked like he's getting stronger. And Gordon pushed me. Ah, man, what's wrong with you, Castle? And he said, I tell you what, I'll bet you $20. I said, oh, man, I'm not going to bet no money. I ain't going to bet. So he knocked the guy down again. And Gordon laughed. He said, you still think he's getting stronger? I said, look at his eyes, Gordon. You can see it in his eyes. He's getting stronger. George, I tell you what, bet that 20. Now, he knocked that guy down the third time. And Gordon said, man, Kelsey, you crazy. I said, I tell you what, I see his eyes. I said, I got $30, so he beats this guy. He set that $30 up on the table, and that guy knocked him out, and he just couldn't believe it. Gordon was at a loss. See, because that showed me that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's what it's all about. But you know what? There's another point to that story. It's a bigger point to that story. I knew the ending. If I knew the ending, how come I didn't bet it all? Why didn't I bet it all, Marvin? I knew the ending. If you read the word, God said you won in the end. He's already told you that you win in the end. You give your life to Jesus, you win in the end. So why aren't you betting it all? Why aren't you giving everything to Jesus? What are you holding on to? I was satisfied with that measly $30 when I could have bet it all.
Amen.
So you know you win, bet it all. Don't get stuck. Give it up. Don't be called back ashamed. I used to go to church and I'd be ashamed because I didn't have the clothes that some of the people had then because I was a crackhead. You know, I was trying to come out every time somebody would buy me a suit or something. If it was sellable, I would sell it. I remember I'd got a starter jacket one time. Really nice Indiana starter jacket, IU. I'm not a big IU fan, but the starter jacket was nice. And so I was at the house getting high and this lady said, oh, I like that jacket. And oh man, it's a crackhead's dream. And he said, what you want for that jacket? That's cold outside. And I said, well, I really got a coat to wear. Now this is a girl, she about maybe a little about your size, maybe a little bigger. And she had said, well, you can take this coat. Now she had this little bitty raggedy looking coat, right? But she's ready to give me two rocks for that jacket. Vic, you know the good dope fiend I was? I came off that jacket for them two rocks. Now I'm walking down Pontiac Street. With this coat on, it came up my shoulder about right here. I couldn't hardly button the coat, and I'm freezing. Now, about that time, my pastor, right down the street, him and the assistant pastor, in a truck, and there I'm standing on the corner, looking like something off of Benny Hill or something. You know, but that's how it is. That's how it was. I know somebody here looked back at some of the shameful things you've done, and you think you can't make it. You think that you're worse than anybody. There's no rhyme or reason that I could be standing up here preaching to anybody. There's no rhyme or reason that I have a story to tell except for Jesus came into my life one day. And he changed everything about me. He took away that need to lie. He took away that need to steal. He took away that desire to put drugs in me. He took away that desire to smoke anything, you know. And not only that, but I never thought being a great pervert I was that he could hold me. But when I got saved on May 21st, 2011, Saturday, I celebrated 11 years clean. Yeah. And the thing about that is I asked God when I got saved. Bob asked him, I said, God, I don't want to be alone. I said, Lord, bring me a wife. I said, Lord, bring me a God-fearing woman. Bring me somebody who can get a prayer through for me when I can't get a prayer through for myself. Give me somebody who will walk this thing out with me. And I said, Lord, but before you do that, teach me how to be a husband. I had no idea what it was like to be a husband. I said, God, bring me a man to take me by the hand and walk me through this. Teach me how to be responsible. Teach me how to be selfless. Teach me how to love somebody other than myself. And you know what? God had to let me down from that day to this. I don't know when I first got saved, I ended up going to prison because I had things going on from before that. See, there's always consequences to your sin. See, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. So a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And so I had to reap the things that I sowed, but God forgave me. And the good part about it was God was with me. God was with me in the jailhouse. God was with me in the prison yard. God was with me all through the twerk police. God was with me. When I came home, God was yet with me. You know, and I had, right before I came home, I had this lady. She was a sergeant, the shift supervisor. She would come and wake me up. And the first time she come and woke me up at night, and they said, you need to go down to the shift office. Woke me up about 2:30 in the morning. So you need to go down to the shift office. And if you've ever been to prison, you know, that usually means somebody's passed away. You know, that's usually what that is. So I hurry, and I get dressed, and I hurry down to the shift office. And before I get to the shift office, I hear a little music playing. I say, damn, it down here. So I go off with the thing, and there this lady was in there. This little sergeant lady. Somehow she had been watching me. And she had got a crush on me. Now, she got this music playing. She told me how much she cared for me and wanted to do this and wanted to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I had asked God to keep me pure. So I had told God. I said, Lord, you know I'm not a virgin. I said, but Father, keep me clean until I get married. Allow me to be as pure as I can be for my wife, Father. I asked God to forgive me for all the people and things that I've been with. Now, here I am, a prisoner, locked up in the middle of the night, in this room with the shift sergeant. And here she comes. Music playing, she come and grabbed me with one hand by the shirt, and the other hand was a little lower. I had to try to pull her hand away. And I'm trying to hold on, make me, because I had promised God. Now, I liked this lady because she was cute anyway. I had seen her around the yard and stuff. But now she would tell me how much she cared for me, and she wanted to do this. But I kept fighting it off. I would not go further. I would kiss her a few times, but I wouldn't go no further. And she kept getting me. She kept getting me. Night after night, when her ship was on, she kept getting me. Night after night. She told me, when I get out, she showed me pictures of her house and pictures of things she had bought for me. She got all this stuff and everything together. See, but I knew that wasn't of God, because if she was of God, she would have tried to get me to do things that she wanted me to do. She would have trusted God and believed in it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we don't always understand what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand, and we think that that gift, we think that thing is wrapped from God. See, because God's gifts are perfect, and God's yoke is easy. This wasn't easy for me. But I kept holding on to her. So the night I got out at midnight. And she called, she said, call me. You ain't got to go to Fort Wayne, because you can stay right here. My brother had come and got me and my brother-in-law. And so I called her phone. See, I'm going to tell you something. God, Marvin, will do for you what you can't do for yourself. See, man, I don't know if I'd have been strong enough to resist her had I been home alone. Like calling McCaulkin. Had I been home alone, where I might not be able to resist those things. But the Bible says, no temptation has seized you except what's common. And when you are tempted, God will provide a way out that you can stand up under. So I called, and she wouldn't answer the phone. 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 So I came on to Fort Wayne. You know, she has left money to my brother to buy me clothes. They have bought me some outfits, left me some money, some cologne, all kind of different stuff. And I'm saying this because the material things were making me draw that way. But God knew that wasn't my wife. And so I came on back home, and I got a job from a guy that I met in prison. You know, I'm going to tell you something, because God says, separate yourself, come out from among them. But sometimes you want to dip and dabble because you think that that's the only way to go. I got a job with a guy from prison that I'd met. We were selling houses, and I'm doing okay. I never got a dime, Marvin. He ended up ripping me off. And I lost a girl, worked all this money, worked all this job, didn't get paid, just all kind of horrible things. And I'm thinking, man, is this being saved? But once again, I want to tell you something. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. It don't matter what it looks like on the road. It don't matter like who's passing you. It doesn't matter about none of that. You hold on. And you hold on to the hem of his garment. Sometimes that's all I had, was just enough to hold on to the hem of his garment, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I became angry. I became all kinds of things. I asked God, I said, God, but I made some promises. See, I made some promises. This time I wasn't going to go back on, Sherry. I wasn't going back this time. No matter what, sometimes I just have to just hold on. Call my brother, somebody, and just get on my knees and pray, because I just didn't want to go back to being that old fool that I used to be. Yes. And God began to come up and show up in my life. God began to show up in my life. And today, you know, my mom passed away 2 weeks ago. I was able. This old dope-feeding crackhead was able to preach her funeral 2 weeks ago. I was able because God kept me, because I wanted to be kept. See, God, it says in Narcotics Anonymous, the second step says, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Then the third step says, turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. So I did that. See, all the times before, I turned my life over to God, but not my will. Mm-hmm. I still wanted to keep my will. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't want to be in no halfway house. Because I was smarter than the people running the halfway house. They think they know everything. I would do it this way. I would do it that way. We should change the rules. I come in prison, and I want to change the rules. But God told me to just be still and know that I am God. So I will be exalted in the heavens and in the earth. I want to tell somebody tonight, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Today I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Today I'm allowed to stand in places that I would have been persecuted in. Today I'm allowed to do things in my life. So running out of gas and what's for dinner is no longer a problem in my life. God allowed me to marry my best friend. I love her with all my heart. Sometimes I don't like her much, but I love her with all my heart. Sometimes I wonder if I have a knife or a wife. You know, but I'm going to tell you something. I hope you'll listen to this. But I tell you something, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I got a chance to meet people like Marvin, like Mitch, like Bob, and Carl, Pastor Martin, and Toby, and Pam. And my life, these people begin to reel in my life. They're like brothers and sisters to me. I remember when Jesus was preaching, and somebody said, your family's outside. He said, who is my family? But those doing the will of my Father. And that's the way I feel today. I love these brothers and sisters. And don't leave here the same way. It don't matter what you did. It don't matter if you stole some gum and went to prison. It don't matter if you got a murder case and went to prison. It don't matter if you raped somebody. It don't matter if you've been raped. Don't hold on to none of that. That's yesterday's stuff. I will not be defined by what I did yesterday. I will not be held hostage by those foolish mistakes and those foolish decisions I made yesterday. Stand up and walk up out of there. Stand up with your head up and your chest up. Be honest. Tell somebody. See, I didn't get a chance to clean my life up until I was able to share and tell somebody and let somebody get in my business. At first, I was too secret. I can't tell them. I can't tell them. They're going to look at me funny. No, they got things going on in their life, too, and had things going on. But iron sharpens iron. One brother sharpens the countenance of another brother. God said, how can two walk together unless they agree? He said, two are better than one, because when one falls, another can help him up. He said, two are stronger than one, and three is a strand not easily broken. So what I do is I stick around my brothers and sisters. I stick around the fellowship. I made some mistakes in here, but they're honest mistakes. And once I make them, I try to get it out of it and do the best I know how. I don't run from it. I don't lie about it. I do the best I know how, because I understand it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. Somebody here tonight ought to be excited. Yes. That you no longer your lips no longer got the frown off that bitter apple that you ate 20 years ago. No way. That's over and done. It's over. It's a new life, a new day. Somebody ought to learn to walk in their deliverance. Somebody ought to get somebody by the hand and say, come on and walk with me. I don't know if I can make this alone, but two are better than one, because if one falls, the other one can help him up. And if you don't have a church home, this Monday night can be your church home. Pastor Martin is a great man of God. You come out, he'll talk to you, he'll teach you, he'll counsel with you, he'll baptize you. You get with the mentors and leave that mess here. And when that enemy starts trying to talk to you, talking about, look what you did, tell me, look here. Yeah, I know what I did. Now, I may have did what you said I did, but I'm not who you say I am. My name has changed. I'm no longer Abram, but I'm Abraham. My name has changed, you know, and that's what God has come to do. My name is no longer Jacob, but now my name is Israel. I'm a child of the King, and I want somebody to take that with you. And I'm going to shut up with this. This is the last statement. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody got any questions or anything they want to add, anything they want to say before we get out of here?
God bless you, man.
God bless you. God bless you, man. Thank you. Thank you. I received that. Pastor, I'm asking you to pray and dismiss us tonight. Pastor Martin.
My ears and my sister here. Shall we bow our heads and hold our hearts, please?
All righty.
Father God, we thank you for the money that you've given us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us.
you are, that we can be a new creation in Christ. That the old
yes, Lord.
Pass away, that all things can become new. We thank
yes,
you that
Lord.
What you have for us is abundant, that what you have for us is
yes, Lord.
Your sons and your daughters, that we can walk as heirs of royalty.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that the plans that the devil have for us are canceled in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Christ is under the blood, that we can come to you in purity and cleanness and wholeness.
Yes.
We can just say that no more will I be a child of darkness, but I will be a child of light.
Yes. Yes.
I was created to be more than a pauper.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I ask that your spirit would just come down upon the hearers, that this word would sink into their hearts, that they would know that they can turn around, that they can take your hand, that their lives can be brand new. And
yes, Lord.
And it will not be by their strength, it will be by your strength.
Yes, Lord.
Do all things through Christ.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Father God, for who you are.
Yes,
we
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came for us. We
yes, Lord.
That the promises that you have for us are yes and amen.
Yes.
Your intentions for us is good. So we love you. We love you. We love you,
yes.
Lord. We
yes.
love
yes,
you.
Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
We want to glorify you with our lives.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. 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 Hey, hey, hold on, listen up. Hey, next Monday, there's no meeting for the holiday. Enjoy the holidays and come back safe. You know, come back. Hey, let me share this one quick thing with you right quick, real quick. The last time we had a meet, thing like this for the holiday, and we had a woman who used to come all the time and say, hey, don't, next Monday we're not having a meeting, so just go out there and be safe. She went out there and got back in the streets in that week, and her and her boyfriend OD'd. That'd be a shame. See, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the hope shot. It don't have to be you. It don't have to be you. God bless you.